sometimes I forget. Perfection is nonsense, it's just the way it is. Life gets rough around the edges. Peace is just a perspective shift away. And Rebecca, Emily, and Kate are here to help. This is Mom struggling well. Cause we're all in this together. Just Mom struggling well.
Hey ladies, welcome to the Mom Struggling Well podcast, the show that helps you love your actual life so that you don't need to run away from home. Katie's here with me. Say hi, Katie.
Hey.
And we wanted to tell you that some cool stuff is coming soon in the new year.
But we're bringing it early.
We're just giving you a sneakity peekity at what we're going to do. And what we're going to do is as follows, We are going to each do a interview, a small little guy, on a topic that we are each interested in. Because the three of us, we're kind of similar, but we're also very different. So took a lot of encouraging and finagling to convince these two other ladies that they could, in fact, interview people without, I don't know if they thought they would die of fear or die of, I don't know what, it was just very scary.
I do think in the future I may die of fear and get so stressed out that I lose all my hair, but I'm willing to do that for the show.
Wow. So it's baldness just for these ladies. That's how much you care about them.
It's fear of baldness that's stopping me from doing the interviews.
But you're going to press on and do the interviews with baldness staring you in the face. It's an audio only medium. And so don't nobody care over here if you're bald.
Anyway, we're going to do it. We're all going to take turns interviewing people. We're going to bring those to you every other week. So 1 week, you're going to hear from Emily, Rebecca, and Katie. 1 week, you're going to hear from one of us interviewing another mom struggling well. We're going to begin this in January. Up until that point, we're going to rebroadcast some of the best episodes that Mom Struggling Well has done up to this point. Get y'all primed.
Knock your socks off episodes. The ones that launched us into perpetuity. Is that a word? Does that word fit there? I don't know.
You're asking the wrong lady.
Okay, so the one that we're bringing you today is new, and it's only because it was a little time sensitive. You guys know that I have been working on exploring the idea of not drinking. It's not my favorite thing to talk about. I don't love how much I love wine, but it's a fact. It's a proven fact that I've proven
over the years.
Sadly, yes. Anyway, I've talked about sobriety on the show before, and there's a lady named Jen. She's in Fort Worth, and I just really love her take on sobriety. And so on Instagram, she is Sober Sis, and the idea is about being sober-minded and having a sisterhood of women who are sober-minded. I love how she says in the interview, it's not BSF, which is Bible Study Fellowship, which is great. They're like hardcore Bible studiers. And I love a commitment, but they kick you out if you miss like one or two. Their commitment levels scare me, and I love a commitment. So these ladies are hardcore in the best way. Anyway, it's not BSF, but it's also not AA, but it's somewhere in the middle.
Okay.
I like so much about what she does. So I went ahead and did her 21-day challenge to not drink. And then I wanted to talk to her. And so this is the episode we're bringing you. And the reason we're bringing it now is because Sober October is coming up. And what better reason to not drink than a month that rhymes with sober?
Yeah, that's right.
Don't do it for your health. Don't do it because of any of the other reasons that it's an addictive substance, that it's ruining your life. But do it because sober rhymes with October. So whatever floats your boat, right? So I wanted you guys to be able to know about this, if this was something that you were considering doing before the holidays. I don't know. Just wanted it to be available to you. So we're going to pop this into your ear holes a little bit early.
Love it.
Let's get started.
Boop.
We are so excited to have Olive and June as a sponsor. You've heard me talk before about how I love to spend time in my courtyard and just sit in my little plant haven. But now I've added painting my nails with Olive and June's Manny system while I'm out there. When I got the manicure set, it worked itself out to $2 a manicure. I would spend way more than that on one gel manicure, so I'm basically making money. Plus, at my job, it's kind of important to have nice looking nails because I am in my patients' faces all the time because they have feeding tubes and I have to flush them, and it's a lot of things that probably don't make any sense if you're not a nurse, but my hands are always really close to their eyeballs, and so I get a lot of comments on how great my nails look, and I tell them it's Olive and June. With Olive and June, I get better every single week. Their system works like magic. Something about the thickness of the polish is perfect. And that poppy applicator, it makes it to where both my hands look equally as good. I'm left-handed, so my right hand usually looks amazing and my left hand, not so much. But Olive and June solved that problem for me. People don't believe me when I say that it lasts 7 days or longer, but it's true. Katie and I both love the hibiscus color the most, and since I love to treat myself, I'm gonna try the Petty system next. So with our code MSW, you can get 20% off your first Mani system. Your new nail life has arrived. Get 20% off your first Mani system when you use promo code MSW at oliveandjune.com. We're done with expensive, bad manicures. This is the new us now, okay? OliveandJune.com, promo code MSW.
Jen, thank you so much for joining me today on the podcast. We've talked on and off. We've texted a little bit and stuff, but I'm excited to get to talk to your face, even though it is just on Zoom. We live pretty close to each other. So maybe
we do. We're practically Texas neighbors.
We sure are. We sure are. So anyhow, tell us your story about why you started Sober Sis, and then we'll just see where it goes. Let's do that.
Yeah, right on. I'll give you the short version so that we don't take the whole time. Sure. But I'm Jen, AKA Sober Sis, which is really short for sober-minded sister. And I just turned 50 this summer of 2021. So the big 5-0.
Was it everything you thought? Were you concerned? Were you excited?
Yes. And it's a big part of my story because I really wanted to show up differently at 50 than I did 40. Hmm. When I showed up at 40, I was a little bit, overwhelmed. Overweight, over anxious, over it. Mm-hmm. I was really over it. And I was just about to get into it, like the thick of it, like raising teenagers. I know that your audience is a lot of young moms. I'd been a young mom at one point in time, but at some point in there, I transitioned out of being the young mom with youngsters into being the mom with teenagers. And that for me in my own life is when the heat really turned up. And so I turned 40 when my oldest turned 13.
Okay.
So that was my MO. And at the time we were moving, lots of transitions, and I was struggling. I was not struggling well.
Yeah.
I really wasn't. I thought I was because I kind of looked like everybody else. And I was doing all the right things and I was doing the things. Mm-hmm. But inside, I was starting to feel like, oh my mercy, buckle up. I don't even know what I'm in for. I don't know really how to do this. I don't know how to raise teenagers. I barely remember being one myself, but here we go. And it was great. Don't get me wrong. My kids are awesome. This isn't like a bash teenager moment.
Sure.
This was more of where I was, which was really starting to get caught up in what I call, hashtag funny, the vino flytrap. Oh yeah.
That's so funny.
The pitcher plant of it all. That's when I started to kind of really go for that wine o'clock. I was like, man, it is wine o'clock, 5 o'clock somewhere. And my teenagers definitely don't care what I'm doing at 5 because they're doing their own thing. And sure. My goal at that point was just kind of to stay out of the way, stay low. Don't go in for a lot of chaos and conflict. Hold the boundaries, hold the line, and somewhat act invisible.
Yeah. Well, because that's what they want anyway. And
yeah. So it's kind of like my dog. I've got Franklin over here rolling, rooting, and sneezing. So I'm so sorry funny. For picking that up. So,
your dog's adorable. What kind of dog is it? Golden Doodle?
He's a Golden Doodle and he's in full form right
now. I love it.
So I set on this course of life in my mid 40s. So again, transitioning when my oldest turned 18. Well, we can do the math, right? I was 45. Okay. Yeah. Now, whoa, time out. I'm in the middle of my 40s. I'm like looking at myself. I'm looking at my life. I'm looking at my mental health, my spiritual health, my just who I am. And I'm like, man, that was tough. That was a hard 5 years. good things were happening. Yes, yes, yes. Good things were happening. But man, it did a number on me in every way. And I wanted to emerge out of that. Like, you can be anyone you want to be, you know, you're good enough. You're smart enough. You can do this. How are you going to become the person that you really know you are inside now that you've layered all these layers on top of you of wife, mother, carpooler, cooker, all the homework mom, all the things I had really put on myself was really starting to feel heavy. And again, I love being a mom. And I know that you do too in your audience. We cherish being a mom, but it's really the hardest job on earth. And if someone's not agreeing with that, I don't know. Like I'd love to meet your life.
They're not engaged. If they're not saying it's very hard.
Yeah.
Because they're not.
I guess it's easy if you're not really doing it. But if you're really doing it, it's really hard.
Yeah.
And so, yeah. So my kids are great, but raising them was, it took a lot out of me. And so I knew that I wanted to show up at 50 different than 40. So I knew I couldn't do that with a 30-day juice cleanse. This was going to be a little bit more of an inner to outer overhaul. And I knew I had to start inside, not on the outside. It wasn't about how I looked in my bathing suit, although that was motivation a little bit.
Let me just ask. I think that feels really overwhelming.
Yeah.
Did you feel overwhelmed at that moment? Like, we tell our kids, you can do anything and you can be anything. But then we think, at least for me, I think, but like, you can't teach an old dog new tricks. Like, I'm already so set in my ways.
Oh my gosh. It was so daunting. Because I was wanting to change most all aspects of my life, not even just one.
Yes.
I mean, I kind of wanted to just kind of like show up so differently. And I was so stuck in the status quo of my own life, the minutiae of it all.
Yeah.
Just to get the flywheel of momentum started, I knew that if I could change my relationship with drinking, because it had become such a nightly habit, not necessarily a daily habit yet, but a nightly habit. I was still, you know, hanging on for 5 o'clock, you know, doing all my stuff right during the day. I would wake up and, you know, read my Bible and pray and meditate and do my yoga and then juice my kale and all the things. Until 5 o'clock, then it was like, okay, where's the eject button? I've worked hard and now it's time for my time. It's my reward. It's my transition. And so to rock that boat in my own life was huge. And that's where I started, Emily. That's where I started making this huge change mentally, emotionally, spiritually, physically, was to change my relationship with wine o'clock, because it was the one area of my life that was just standing out to me as the most misaligning part of who I was.
Yeah. How long did you know it was misaligned until you did something about it?
About 6 years.
Okay. Mine was about 10. And as the years pass by, you feel more and more hopeless to ever.
And I might up mine more to the double digits of 10, because I did take a break. I stopped drinking in my late 30s. Ironically, and I was a late to the party drinker. I did not drink in high school or college. And I went to a state school and was in a sorority. In fact, really active in that sorority. And I think it was actually sobering for me to see all the girls, you know, puking at the frat house. And, you know, this is in the late 80s. So I'm like, whoa, that's scary. How are you going to get home? Like, there's no Uber, there's no cell phone.
Yeah.
So for me, in my personality, being the Enneagram one that I am.
Me too. That is not appropriate, right?
Oh, no way, man. Yeah. No, no, we're not going to do that. So
that's funny, because I didn't start drinking until I had kids in my 30s. Yeah, because I was like, no, that's not what we do in college. No, thank you.
No, that's not what we do. You know, I can have fun, but I don't need to drink to do it. And really, I wasn't trying so hard not to drink. It wasn't even in my nature to drink. Sure. It wasn't something that I was just like wrestling with and wanting to and trying to take this moral high ground. Mm-hmm. I was like, yo, I think I'll skip it for now. Knock yourself out with the keg, but I'll be there to drive you home. Mm-hmm. So, I was 32 when I started really involving drinking into my social scene. My husband and I did not meet drinking, but we started making it an activity for ourselves with the Groupons to go tasting everywhere. And, you know, we made it a thing. And then at about 38, I did reel it in. So really, I mean, I say 6 years of like, okay, I really don't like my relationship with drinking. But I would say even before that, I already knew that, man, this thing's kind of, it's encroaching. It's taking over my mental space.
Exactly.
It's taking more bandwidth from my mind than I want it to. Exactly. And that for me was a red flag. That was a problem. And I wasn't falling down drunk. I wasn't losing anything. I didn't do anything crazy at all. In fact, ever. Yeah. And if I did, I minimized it and swept it under the rug as quick as possible.
Nobody can know about that.
If you could taste this bacon from moinkbox.com, you would order it right now. But for now, I'm the one seeing it and tasting it. It's delicious, and I'm telling you, you've got to get moinkbox.com. Moink delivers grass-fed and grass-finished beef and lamb, pastured pork and chicken, wild-caught Alaskan salmon, direct to your door, helping family farms become financially independent outside of big agriculture. Their animals are raised outdoors, their fish swim wild in the ocean, and Moink meat is free of antibiotics, hormones, sugar, and all the other junk that you find prepackaged in the meat aisle. Sign up at moinkbox.com/show to get a year of ground beef for free, and then pick what meats you want delivered with your first box. Change what you get each month and cancel anytime. This box was full of the most delicious meats I have ever experienced. My husband Eric could not stop going on about the steaks, and I think even Rebecca wouldn't mind the smell of the bacon that's hanging around my house, and that's saying something. Moink was founded by an 8th-generation farmer who was featured on Shark Tank. Host Kevin O'Leary said, "It's the best bacon he's ever tasted," and I agree. And Jamie Siminoff, creator of the Ring video doorbell, invested in Moink. They guarantee that you'll say, "Oink, oink, I'm just so happy I got moinked." They guarantee you'll say that. So look, I've been moinked, and I think it's high time you get moinked as well. Join the moink movement today. Go to moinkbox.com/MSW right now, like this very second. You can pause the show. We'll wait for you, because moms who are struggling well get free ground beef for a year. You know your kids will eat ground beef. They will eat most nothing else, but they will eat some ground beef. So yes, you heard that right. That's 1 year of the best ground beef you'll ever taste, but it's for a limited time. So it's spelled moinkbox.com/MSW. That's moinkbox.com/MSW.
In looking through like journals and stuff, I've been talking to God about it for a really long time. I felt convicted it was something that I shouldn't do to the extent that I was doing it, or if at all, like I couldn't really tell. But while I think about it, I'm going to go ahead and keep drinking. Like right. I just kept pushing it down the field a little bit. But I would ask my friends who were in recovery, am I an alcoholic? And everyone would just compare their war stories with my not, you know, I have a job, everything's fine, theoretically, you know, and in comparison. But that's why I love your idea of the gray area drinking. So talk to me about that, please.
That's huge. Well, just like you, I knew that I didn't like my relationship with alcohol, but to go so far, I guess, to the end of the line, kind of the drinking spectrum, it felt extreme for me to look at alcoholism, AA, never drinking again, really wearing a label that I don't feel like encapsulated where I was. And I didn't understand for the longest time that there really was this gray area drinking zone, you know, and they've really taken alcoholic and alcoholism out of the medical jargon, like dictionaries now, and like where they diagnose someone. If you go to your doctor, they would actually diagnose you with alcohol use dependency or disorder, AUD, before they would call you an alcoholic. That's really an antiquated social term.
Okay.
That is no longer applicable, because they do recognize, like with many things, there is a full-blown spectrum. So everyone who drinks alcohol at all is on the drinking spectrum. And that's if someone's doing a champagne toast at a wedding once a year, they're like a one. They're like way over there. They could take it or leave it, usually leave it, but they'll take it on a social occasion or a pleasantry of something, almost culturally speaking, like they really don't care. they may not even like it. They may just do it because that's what everyone else is doing.
Yeah.
Then you've got your 10, if we're going on a scale of 1 to 10, and that is someone who's physically addicted to alcohol, can't function without it. In fact, they might die if they stop abruptly. Okay. Whoa, that's a 10. Mm-hmm. Surely there's something in the middle, because what I just described on either end did not describe me
or you.
And I didn't know how many hundreds of thousands, if not millions of women fit in that gray area drinking zone, which is it's starting to become a habit that's slipping into a routine. There is a physical addiction element to it because of the substance itself. It is addictive. Alcohol is addictive, ultimately, to everyone. And the more you drink it, the more it creates a thirst for itself. So if you're out there and if you started drinking later, you'll notice, if you're anything like me, maybe like you, you started drinking a little bit and it went a long way in your body. That one glass took you for a ride. That one glass becomes not enough to feel the same way. So you need that second glass, third glass. And before you know it, down the line, when you started as a 1, 2, 3, you know, you look up one day and you're like, oh my gosh, I just did the bottle breakdown. Mm-hmm. What in the world? That would have seemed like something in my 20s. I wouldn't have been able to grasp that in my 30s and certainly in my 40s. I could polish off a bottle of Pinot Grigio from 5 to 10 p.m. while cooking dinner and helping my kids do homework and taking a bath, and almost Absolutely. No one even knowing the difference. It was just kind of my norm.
Yes. And I think sometimes I would reason, I am nicer. Everyone is happier because I don't care if the dishes are done.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, I totally bought that as well.
And I think that that is how it's marketed to us. It's mommy's, you know, juice cup or sippy cup or, you know, whatever. And so that feels really dangerous, really unfair to our kids. Yeah. So let's talk about the marketing of wine, because your segment on where they put it, how they package it was really mind-boggling. And it really kind of made me mad.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And I think it should. I think that's it. I think that's part of the awareness aspect of even noticing the marketing and messaging that we've just gotten so used to with all the Target t-shirts, all the memes, all the rosé all day. I mean, really? Can we really rosé all day and get it done? We'd like to think we could, but the marketing and messaging is, it's so in our face that we become immune to it in a way. And, again, not to pick on Target, but I know you're a Texas girl as well. And that's definitely the store that I tend to wheel in to get my milk and buy a lamp. You know, I'm like doing it all.
Like,
what else can I buy here? And when I first wanted to change my relationship with drinking, I remember vividly, I still do feel this way. I would walk in and I would think, okay, I'm not drinking today. Because I would wake up with such good intention.
Oh, strong.
I would not wake up like, you know, waiting for 5 o'clock and planning it. I was waking up trying to avoid the same thing over again because I didn't feel 100%. You know, the hangover wasn't so bad that I couldn't make the 9 a.m. or noon class, but there's no 5:30 class going on.
Yeah.
And so I would walk in and it started immediately with whatever seasonal kiosk or whatever seasonal display was going on, whether it was tailgating, Mother's Day, the holidays, you name it. Now we've got the drinks display there. Mm-hmm. You're cruising around with your little shopping cart and you swing by the blueberries. Oh, there's the Prosecco. Mm-hmm. Oh, we need some steaks for the grill. Oh, there's the cab. There's the red wine. And so the availability and the normalization of alcohol as if in the labeling, which I was a marketing major in college. Okay. I love business.
Yeah.
The labels just get you almost. Sometimes when I'm in Trader Joe's and they've got all their cute beer cans, I'm just like, oh, that's such a cute label.
I know. It does. It just makes you want to buy it. Yeah.
It does, because it's so cute. Fortunately, now there's great NA beers and alcohol-free wines that are stepping up their game with their marketing and their labeling and their presentation out in the world as well.
Yes.
So that's super exciting.
Yes. I think having it by the candy bars at the checkout.
Oh, yeah.
When
it's
you're
like an end cap with the $5 in the bottle sign.
Yeah.
And you're just like, there's just no excuse not to buy it in the moment when you're.
Well, and you said no to so many things. So there's like a decision fatigue that you've said no to every kid for all the toys and yourself for all the rugs. And then by the time you get there, you're like, yes.
Do it.
And then it's in a box. And so there's like three bottles in a box. And, you know, I don't know. It's ridiculous.
It is.
I don't appreciate it. So the service you provide is 21 days just off.
That's right.
And so I did that.
Yes,
and I have literally not done, I can do things for like three solid days. Like I did the whole 30, but I just did three.
So I did the whole 30. Zero. Just take off the zero.
Yeah, I mean, so that's half of the numbers in 3 and 0. So I've done half of it. Anyway, don't worry about the math. Anyway, so I didn't think I could do it, but I thought I would give it a shot. Uh-huh. And what I loved about the, what do you call the challenge?
Okay, I call it a reset.
There you go. So what I loved about it was the Marco Polo group of other people in it. I could not keep up with how communicative, but it was great. Even if I couldn't like contribute, I was encouraged the whole time because there's some mentors in there. And one of the mentors had puppies and who doesn't love that? Anyway, so that was really encouraging. But then daily emails from you that just about things like the marketing and all that kind of stuff. And I don't know, I didn't think I could do it and I did it. And then I just kept doing it. And it's been a really long time now. And
Emily, this is huge. I was excited to have this conversation with you today because I wondered what your experience personally was like. And if you were toying around with just more practice of this kind of alcohol-free lifestyle, not saying that you'll never drink again, but just kind of like, it's almost like, let me try this on. Let me try this on and give it some time with support, with practice, and just see the difference.
Yeah. So I am a psych nurse and things are intense. And I am a grad student and I have two kids, one of which is a teenager. And so things are intense. And so I used wine to, you know, help me through all of that. But then I did, I just felt junky and I felt sleepy and I really like accomplishing things and I can't do that if I'm in the bed. And so not drinking helped me realize that it's not that terrible. Spending time with my family didn't go, there wasn't fighting all the time because I'd convinced myself that things would be really bad if I didn't drink. Like I felt like I was doing a public service to my family. You know what I'm saying? It's so silly.
Understand.
But it wasn't bad. And I felt so heavy with guilt for doing it. And I have alcoholism in my family. And so there was so much wrapped up with it that I just am enjoying the lightness of not.
Yes. And the freedom. It's almost like it's so much more freedom.
Yeah.
That's what I've experienced is, you know, I talk a lot about AF, you know, alcohol-free AF can mean a lot of things to a lot of people out there. It sure can. There's t-shirts for everything. So I'm AF. I'm living this alcohol-free lifestyle. I'm choosing to not drink, but I can drink whatever I want when I want. And I like that. And, but AF to me is really more about this stepping into this authentic freedom, who I really am. Being more wholehearted, less divided mind. I'm not walking around with a mental tug of war inside that puts half of me over here and half of me over there. I feel whole, and that feels like freedom to me. And that's all I wanted. That's what I knew to show up at 50 different than I did 40 was not going to be that my physical appearance or what I had achieved things or stuff. It was going to be how I felt on the inside. And when I was drinking, I felt enslaved. I felt a little bit chained to the habit itself. And now I feel free and life is still challenging and life is still stressful and still hard, but I have a freedom to move about the cabin in a way that doesn't keep me strapped down.
Yeah. So talk to me about the Christian subculture and drinking and what you find as far as, I think in my experience, people just don't want to talk about it because they that can't be something that they struggle with because that's not appropriate or Christian or God honoring. And so they try to like get out of it on their own. And then they just kind of, like you said, they're in the vino flytrap. They're just not getting out of it. And they're certainly not telling anybody about it.
No, there's so much shame and stigma and stereotyping and labeling going on with someone talking about alcohol. And I think it's such a shame. Here it is, the day that you and I are recording and talking, it's actually National Sober Day.
Oh, is it?
On the calendar. They have a National Vodka Day, National Tequila Day, National Margarita Day. So my friend Courtney Anderson, shout out. created National Sober Day. Hmm. About 4 years ago, I think she got it on the national calendar.
Oh, that's great.
So that is today. And it's so funny. As a Christian mom, someone very involved in my church through mentoring and having been in full-time ministry before a lot of other things in my life with retail and whatnot. Yeah, the whole alcohol piece just did not fit in. I was just did not even know how to talk about that because I was so afraid of people misunderstanding, thinking the worst of me, judging me. And that is a real shame because there are so many women, especially in the gray area, that feel like they're going to have to fix it themselves or it's going to have to get worse before it gets better. Because there's at some point where you feel like you have to talk about it because you've hit rock bottom or lost something. And I did not feel safe in my community of people necessarily at my church. And this isn't bad on them. I think it was a lot of my own stuff. I think if someone would have gone first and been at a Bible study or a sharing time and said, you know what, I'm really starting to feel like, you know, my evening wine o'clock habit is got a hook in me that I feel convicted about, but I also like I like drinking.
Yep.
Like, ooh, whoa. Now, if somebody at a church setting said, I like drinking, but I don't want to like it this much, or I enjoy drinking, but I feel like it's become something that is mastering me. Mm-hmm. I think other people would be like, oh my gosh, yes, thank God somebody said something. This is happening to half of the people in the room.
I know. Yep. Absolutely.
And it takes that brave person, that courageous person. And I wasn't that person for the longest time because I didn't have the language. I didn't know how to talk about alcohol without using words like sober, addiction, recovery, alcoholic. But I knew I was struggling with it. And I didn't know how to talk about, you know, being sober minded, how to live this. I didn't want to live such a duplicitous life.
Yes.
I didn't know how to articulate the struggle inside. So I squelched it down. And anytime someone even remotely seemed like they were going there, I like latched on and then the conversation would fizzle. Or I'd be at a concert at my church. We had Ellie Holcomb come to our
church. Oh my gosh, I love her so much. Yes.
And I remember sitting in the audience. I must have been probably in my early 40s. And just the praise and worship songs and the worship. And I was just sitting there crying out to God, God, take this away, this feeling inside of, I love you, but now I've got this other thing that I love also. And it's a competition. They're competing.
Yeah.
And I don't know how to stop it because I do want them both. And I don't know what to do.
After I had Owen, I noticed my hair started shedding. It was concerning how much I was losing, especially because my hair was super duper long and I used to dye it dark brown because I was edgy before I had kids. And Big Boy would see it in the shower and be like, do we need to be worried about what's happening in there? So after pregnancy, your body is still shifting, recalibrating, and doing things that don't feel normal. One of the alarming side effects of all the hormonal changes can be excessive shedding that freaks out your husband. Hair that comes out in clumps, even when you wash it or brush it. Thankfully, Pros can help stop the shedding cycle and grow back your hair. Pros specializes in custom hair care, and now they also make custom hair supplements that are personally tailored to address your specific cause of shedding. They take into account things like hormonal changes, stress level, diet, and more, and the result is customized supplements guaranteed to help you grow thicker, longer, softer hair in record time. Made with clean, safe, and natural ingredients, Pros hair supplements are just two capsules you take daily. The first capsule strengthens and rebalances the scalp to reduce shedding. The second capsule swoops in and helps spark fuller, faster growth deep in the follicle. Better yet, Pros supplements are free from drugs, synthetic fillers, and DHT hormones. All formulas are gluten-free, dairy-free, nut-free, vegan, and cruelty-free. Doesn't that sound yummy? In fact, multiple studies show that over 90% of women are taking Pros hair supplements. They saw less shedding, more growth, and improved overall appearance in just 90 days. Try your own custom hair supplements and you'll get 15% off. Get yours at pros.com/MSW. That's PROSE.com/MSW for your free in-depth hair consultation and 15% off all custom hair supplements.
Yes. And if you said you're struggling with gossiping or you're struggling with, you know, there's so many things that are
something almost like that. Yeah.
But yeah, with drinking and moms and or Christian women, that's like not okay.
It just did not feel okay. And I think that's a big part of what we're trying to do in our Sober Sis tribe and community is make it okay. Yeah. Make it okay for mom. You're not a bad mom. This is not a moral failure. It doesn't mean you don't love your kids and your husband and your family. In fact, if anything, if you're hearing us talk right now, you're probably a type A empath, go-getter, getting her done kind of gal who's not dropping balls, but who's holding the weight of all the balls, often by yourself. And then no wonder at night you want to unplug, check out, and have your mommy juice. It's not because you're doing such a bad job or you're a bad person. It's because you're such an awesome person and you're doing such an awesome job, but you don't know that there's support out there in the mom world for those moments when you just want to numb out or eject a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah. And you're right. You do deserve a reward. It has been a long day, you know, but changing for me, I just thought this is actually not what I deserve is to.
No, it's because it's actually not a reward. Yeah. The society and the culture and the marketing and the messaging and the temporary feeling tricks our body and our brain into thinking it's a reward. But if you fast forward that movie a little bit into 3 hours later or to the 3 a.m. wake up call, is it really a reward to take a tired mom and basically drug her in the evening and then make her wake up at 3 a.m. with dread and anxiety and lashing herself with just all these feelings of you need to do better, be better, and then have her get up 3 hours later and do it all over again?
Try it again. Yeah.
I mean, that's not really a reward, but that's what our society tells us is a reward. So, you know, we put our drinks in our Yeti and we go to the game or we do whatever. And we think we're doing ourselves a favor and we're undermining our own resilience and our own ability to be present in our own life. Yeah. And we're more able than we think we are.
It's true. I love it. So the next 21-day reset you have is October 1.
That's right.
Where can people find you to sign up for this and get in a Marco Polo group and get all your emails and stuff?
The whole thing. Yeah. Well, for sure. Follow me on Instagram. Yeah. If you're not already out there, it's at Sober Sis. And there I have all the links in my bio. I also have a free guide that women can download if they go to SoberSis.com. If they're like, whoa, Jen, I don't know about 21 days or any kind of reset challenge. I just need like help for tonight. Hmm. I'm going to a wedding this weekend or I've got tailgating. I'm just trying to get through one night or one event and I need some tips. Yeah. Go download my free guide. But if you want to do the reset challenge, it's just SoberSis.com/21-day-challenge.
Okay.
And women can sign up at any point in time and get connected.
I really love that it is not, don't drink, drinking's bad, but it is, how can we be more sober-minded? How can we be less divided and more focused on the life that we know we want to have, the life that we know that we're called to? And it isn't also overtly Christian. So if you're not a Christian, that doesn't mean that this isn't for you. It felt safe, felt like a safe place to explore and consider. And I believe for me, moderation hasn't worked in the past. And I feel like there's wisdom in not trying to continue to do the things that haven't worked in the past. Right. And so for me, I don't believe that that's something that I'm going to do, but I do love that even in the Marco Polo group, after it's over, you get to keep your group and they don't say like, you know, if you drink again, get out. That's not what it's like, even a little bit.
We're not really a sobriety club. We're really more of a sober-minded sisterhood. And I love what you said. It feels safe to explore. When I created Sober Sis, that's what I wanted to create, was a place that was kind of a wide open field, if you will, where women could come out of the forest, come out of the woodwork, come out of your foxhole, come out and let's just talk about it. And it's okay if you just want to drink less. It's okay if you don't want to drink at all. Hey, you may want to start by wanting to drink less and then you'll discover you don't want to drink at all. Hey, whatever. Figure it out in community and without having that shame or judgment or labels or rules where it's like you're in or you're out or back to day one for you. You know, it's like, let's just learn and grow. And then we can celebrate milestones of growth more than just days on a calendar.
I know. It is so weird how much alcohol is connected with counting calendar days. I know. For me, it's very defeating then. If you have a glass of wine, you're like,
it feels like you're walking a tightrope or like on a balance beam of like, It helped me when I started focusing on learning instead of quitting.
Yes.
And it helped me a lot. And then after the 21-day reset challenge, I have something called AFL, which stands for alcohol-free lifestyle. It's a 10-week course. And again, it's not about perfection. Nothing I offer is about perfection. Otherwise, I couldn't do it. So that won't work. I can't be the leader of a perfection group because I'm a recovering perfectionist. So that won't work.
Exactly.
But the AFL, the alcohol-free lifestyle, is for anyone who's done the 21-day reset, whether they had 3 days or 21 days, who want more practice and more support going forward and learn the pillars of actual sober-minded living, which ironically have way less to do with alcohol and more to do with feeling the feelings, having good boundaries, what is real self-care, how to course correct, those kind of things is where I get really excited because the alcohol is just a band-aid. It's just a symptom. It's really not the issue. The issue is how do we cope and deal with life, the loneliness, the boredom, the excitement, all the things. How do we do that without alcohol and stay present at the same time? So yeah, it's ongoing. It's just a journey.
So good. I'm so thankful for what you've built and the community around it.
I'm so glad you reached out and I'm so glad that you have partaken in this,
yes.
You know, and that you're on your own journey. I look forward to supporting you and just doing this together.
Yeah. I'm excited to talk about it more. Like you had reached out and you're like, tell me, like, I'm not seeing anything about what you're doing. I'm like, number one, I'm afraid I'm going to fail. And so I don't really want to talk about it. You know what I mean? And like publicly. And so, but it really does feel like a whole different perspective on the same life. And I really like it. So I think I'll be talking about it more. But okay, last question. What is something you can't stop talking about right now?
Well, that's a good question. Anyone that follows me on Instagram knows that I'm a dog person. And I don't know if this is like my biggest thing in life that I'm most excited about. However, we do have 3 dogs. And we just got a Belgian Malinois puppy. So now I've got a pack. My husband and I are officially outnumbered at our home, canine to human. And so we've got the Golden Doodle Franklin, the rescue dog Paco like Taco. And now we've got Suki, the Belgian Malinois, better known as a Maligator. So I can't stop talking about all the dogs in my house and how much they stink because they're swimming all the time.
Do you live on the water?
We've got a pool.
Okay.
And my kids are so frustrated that we built a pool after they left. But that's part of turning 50.
Surely
is. I couldn't afford one before I turned 50. So. So now it's my time. That's part of my reward is getting a pool at 50 when really I needed it when I was 30.
No kidding. I love that. You'll have to have you put pictures of them on your Instagram, I'm sure.
Oh yes. Reels. Okay, they're really the perfect content specimen because they can't argue. They can't talk back. They're pretty available and they're pretty darn cute. So I try to work them into my Instagram as much as possible. So
I need more dogs. Yeah, because my kids are getting less and less cute as the years go on.
Yeah, and they're not as cooperative and they're not as ready. I'm definitely not one to, I mean, I try to show myself on Instagram because I want to be a person that people can connect with.
Yeah.
I'm a 50-year-old Instagrammer. If I can show you my dogs or a mocktail, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do that.
I love that. Well, Jen, this has been so fun. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you.
So it's 2021 and nobody has time for uncomfortable shoes. That's where Rothy's comes in. Fall is in the air and what better way to welcome the season than with new shoes. Rothy's has best-selling flats, loafers, and sneakers. They have everything you need to start fall on the right foot. So I went out on a limb and I got the Chelsea boot from Rothy's because I love buying sandals, but I'm bad at buying boots that cover my whole foot because I'm from Arizona and I like sandals. But when it's cold outside, I feel really mad at myself that I don't have any shoes that are appropriate for the season. So this year, I'm gonna keep my toesies warm with my Chelsea boots from Rothy's. They're lightweight and they're perfect for the cooler weather. And also, I can't believe that I own something that is so stylish. Stylish isn't like really how I roll, so this is very fun for me. These boots go with everything, and I'm so happy that I finally took the plunge and got some. But the good thing is that Rothy's are not just for women anymore. Rothy's now sells men's sneakers and loafers. They're durable, washable, and better for the planet.
Plus, the craftsmanship is very high quality. We love reading reviews on the show, and these are some comments from Rothy's customers. Lisa L. says, these shoes are like walking on clouds. And Julie says, there is no break-in period, no blisters, just pure comfort. And that has been my experience too with Rothy's. So to help you welcome the fall season in style, Rothy's is doing something special. That's right, they gave us a chance to share this super rare opportunity with our listeners for a limited time. Right now, you can get $20 off your first purchase at rothys.com/MSW. That's rothys.com/MSW. Head to rothys.com/MSW to find your new favorites today.
Okay, ladies, well, that was my interview with Jen. I hope that it was encouraging, even if you're like, don't even ever drink and you don't have any problems at all. And if that's true, that's so cool. I wish I was like that.
I think that this would be a good one to send to somebody that's ever mentioned to you, like, oh, I'm not drinking right now. It just seems like such a gentle, it could be such a gentle nudge. When I was listening to it, that's how I felt.
Yeah. And I think, like she said, and like I've realized, if you just go first and talk about it, other people open up. You're definitely not the only one in your circle of friends who wishes you had a different relationship with alcohol, but for feels sure. A little bit unable to change it. So struggle well this week by sharing this with a friend or going over to SoberSis.com and signing up for Sober October. She also has some free guides, some downloads. She has free videos. She's just really helpful. And I can tell you from personal experience, she's got just the sweetest heart and she genuinely wants to help other women who were just like her. And her Instagram's really great. So you can find her at Sober Sis. Also, you can find all of us. Kate is at Kate Ordway. Rebecca is at Rebecca Smith Online. And I am now at Hey Emily Thomas. So pop over there. Say hello. Let us know what you thought of the episode.
I'm sure that we're going to be talking about this over in the Patreon Facebook group this week. So if you want to get over there, you can go to patreon.com/momstrugglingwell. Join and join that community. It feels like a safe space. I love when people start out posts like, this feels like a safe space to share this, and then word vomit, and then the comments. Like, it's the most beautiful comment section.
Yeah, seriously. And the internet can be a really dark, terrible place, but it can also be a really great place. And the greatest of places is over in that Facebook group.
All right, so we're going to be right back here in the main show feed in 2 weeks, and we are going to do an episode on entertainment. How to entertain those kids? What's entertaining to us? So many good resources in that one. The show notes are going to be fire with resources.
I'm so glad I don't have to make those.
The links aplenty over there. So also, we're always looking for problems that we can solve for you guys. So email us your problems, hello@momstrugglingwell.com. Make sure you're subscribed so you don't miss us solving your problem over there.
We'll talk to you guys soon. Hear you soon. I'm not sure how to.
It's hard.
Something
soon. Bye. 'Cause we're all in this together. You're just mom struggling well.